today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If someone says something to me like, for example, sometimes I'm going away to do a gig and someone, you know, will say like, oh, you're going away again. And I'm like, do you want to pay my bill? Do you want to pay my mortgage? Because it's cheap. I have a very small mortgage. It's about $5,000 a month. Do you have the money to pay for it?
I see him later on this afternoon. He goes, hey, I need to talk to you. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he says, that Uber I took cost $320.
Oh, no.
She said, oh, my God, you found him saying I love you. I didn't tell her that it was actually him saying he loved me, but I put mommy in front of it.
But I was able to trigger.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
Hey, it's me.
Hi.
How you been?
I am great. Freezing, but great.
It's not as cold as yesterday.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. What's 20 degrees and 22 degrees?
Well, I guess you're right. Live from Podville Media Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show, now in our second decade. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, of which we have many, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their favorite program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you for spreading the word about us every day about TMOS from Fort Knox, Kentucky to Carmel, California, Whippany, New Jersey. Found out the O'Briens live pretty close to Whippany.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Whippany, New Jersey, Bucharest, Romania, Wausau, Wisconsin, and Manama, Bahrain. TMOS is on the air and everywhere, so let's get started. Mike is taking a day, so who do we have to fill his seat?
This is huge.
I love this. She's one of my favorites. I got to know her, actually, when I had a small role on the show Crashing, and I ruined the show. It was canceled 2 episodes after I was on it.
Yeah, but you were the reason.
I was the reason it was canceled, but she was so kind, and I adore her. Comedian Jessica Kirsten is with us. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you, in your home? It looks like you're in your closet.
I am. I'm in the closet. I'm in my walk-in closet.
Some of the best acoustics I've ever found recording remote has been in walk-in closets.
Yeah, because the clothes absorb all the sound.
It's perfect.
It's awesome. Jessica's joining us because she is tomorrow night doing 2 shows at, this is the greatest name, Crazy Aunt Helen's.
I know. I love it. It's my friend's restaurant. He's incredible. This restaurant is, I've heard, it's unbelievable.
The menu is staggering.
Yeah, it's staggering. The food is like top notch, 5-star. It's unreal. And he has this incredible space. I mean, I've had friends who've been there. I've had friends who've been to shows there. It's unreal what he created. And
I can't wait.
So people
are
coming. Yeah, they're having dinner. They're seeing a show. And I'm really excited. I can't wait.
It's 713 8th Street Southeast in Washington, D.C., right here in town. You can get tickets, of course, information at jessicakirson.com, K-I-R-S-O-N. So how have you been?
I've been good. I've been busy. You know, I'm very grateful. I've been on the road a lot. I was just in, this is nuts, but I was just in Canada. I can't even believe I was, believe it or not, I was at the only comedy club that's open right now in Canada. I flew to Vancouver to do a club.
Is comedy more polite in Canada?
Yes. The crowds are incredible.
Very supportive.
Well, when you say polite, they're very supportive. They are great laughers. They're great. They're great audiences. They don't heckle. They don't talk during the shows for the most part. I mean, not always, but they're good. They're really nice people. I love Canadians. I really do.
Jessica, before we get into what will be an amazing night tomorrow night in the D.C. area, a little bit more. I like the idea of dinner and a show.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like a throwback, at least for me. Like, it's just one of those. It's a wonderful experience to even try to do that. But we have to talk about the elephant in the room because it's top of mind. And I told Rob before the show, because we work on in two different divisions within the business outside of this business, the Michael Mara show. And I said, you know, I've been talking to Jessica's team, and his eyes lit up. So we're excited for the future. But the future right now in regards of comedy and shows, as a working comedian, that's got to be, at the very least, you know, not just interesting, but tough to negotiate.
Daunting, I would think.
Well, yes, it is the elephant in the room. Now, the thing is that when you talk about live performances, what I've encountered is most places, most comedy clubs are still going on, are still happening.
Sure. Of course. And most people here, all, even though our Mayor Bowser came out and said that, you know, there's a state of emergency, it's not something we haven't been through before. I have been to a show at another comedy club with you with my mask on, and you performed and you killed.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So, like, we're still outperforming. We're still traveling. I'm in Rhode Island next weekend. I'm in Rochester, New York the weekend after.
You're headed to Vegas too, right?
Yeah. I'm in Vegas. So, because, you know, we've all stayed home. We've done that. And I didn't work for over a year, and it was a nightmare. And most people can't do it again, financially and mentally and whatever. But of course, we're being incredibly careful and whatever we have to do. It's very scary. And everyone's doing what they need to do personally. Mm-hmm. What I found in New York, I was out in New York last night doing stand-up. I did three shows. And people are going out. It's a little lighter. Mm-hmm. It's always lighter this time of the year anyway, so it's kind of hard to tell what's going on yet. But it's, you know what? It's different in every state. It's like, it's hard to tell, because even if you go to Florida, you know, that has, I don't know statistics, but one of the highest rates of COVID and hospitalizations and everything. And then they pretend like there's no virus. I mean, it's insane.
So Mike's from Florida, and he tells a story sometime, and maybe it's sheer population density, Jessica, where when you have a more open space, you can live more of an outdoor lifestyle, then your psychology isn't the way it is in larger, high-populated cities.
It's polar right now in Washington, D.C., not by, you know, the division. It's just cold.
I couldn't even grill outside if I wanted to.
Exactly.
It's just not going to light up or heat up as much as it needs to, right?
Yeah.
So, right. But it is fascinating to say, because I've talked to a handful of colleagues that live in let's say Austin, and they say that they walk around like there's nothing happening.
Nothing. Like, I've been to Austin a bunch of times.
Yeah, you're like, should I have my mask or should I not have my mask? But there is a level of responsibility that you probably, traveling around the country, have to deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do think, I mean, I wear my mask when I'm around people. I have children, you know, I'm very careful. Most places I go, people are not careful at all and don't wear masks. I have to say, most places I go.
But the venues are respectful of the vaccine.
Oh, yes.
Being boosted.
Every venue I go to, most 95% of the staff wears masks the whole time. They're incredibly responsible. Some of the places, everyone has to be vaccinated, but not a lot. And, you know, it's really different. It's like every single city is different. Every state is different. It's so hard. It's like every state is a different country. It's just weird.
To separate out, take out the fact that every state is different. One thing I want to ask about is generalities. When you took a year without doing stand-up, which is your lifeblood.
I did stand-up a lot. I did Zoom shows and I did outdoor shows.
But we're talking about the club experience, though.
Yeah.
What is the energy like when you came back and people started to get back into... Because comedy, I mean, it works on Zoom. I guess it can work outside, but comedy, you have to admit, lives and breathes with the brick wall behind you in the tight little environment. That's when comedy works the best. What was the energy like when you came back and people were back together again? Were they eager to laugh? Were they hesitant to laugh? Did you sense any sort of weirdness in the room? Or what was it like when you came back?
It was definitely weird when we came back because it wasn't just like open and free right away. It was, there was still this sense of fear and kind of resistance. And, you know, it's not as, some places we had like plexiglass in front of us
when
we were performing. So that was, I couldn't, I hated that.
It was like being a banker.
Yeah, it was difficult for me personally to have something physical between me and the audience, because Oscar, you know, you've been I'm very I connect to the audience a lot, and I'm very I do crowd work a lot, and
so it's phenomenal.
I'm really into connecting with the audience, so that was hard for me to have something like a barrier. And it took a minute. It took a minute for all of us to kind of like ease our way back into it, because even though I was doing Zoom shows like every day and doing, outdoor shows and all different kinds of things, it still wasn't the same as getting up in front of a live audience. And it took a second to do that. Even though I've been doing it 23 years, it took a second to get back into that.
Right.
It was scary for all of us. I mean, even like the biggest comics, famous people were freaking out about doing it again.
Sure. Yeah.
There is a level of, and you know, you addressed this when I saw you, I want to say, like 4 or 5 months ago now. Mm-hmm. And I liked it so much. I took Shannon to the show the next night.
Right. I remember
You got to see this. You got to see the show. Mm-hmm. It's so unique. For me, I felt like the people in that room, they wanted to be out responsibly.
Yeah.
And they felt like, okay, we're comfortable here. Everybody here is doing what they need to do. I never felt uncomfortable.
The DC Improv,
one time, yes. Yeah, and when we go out now, which, you know, it's relative to where you live in the country, with all due respect to our national audience, where you sit there, you're like, okay, I survey the scene. I'm happy that it's actually a good thing that the mayor came out yesterday and even mentioned this, Jessica, just for some context. It gives the power to the establishments to say you need a vaccinated card to get in the place. Like there's options, mm-hmm. right? So it should be mm-hmm. safer to go out.
Yes.
And since this is not our first rodeo, and we're getting out on the other side, and we're all vaccine boosted, and if you're and you have that mentality, I feel like you got to live your life.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah,
you have to live your life, and that's my opinion. I'm everyone again. That's the beauty of our country. You can have your own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in a responsible manner. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, yeah. But on both sides, people don't believe you can have your own opinion.
Yeah,
which is nuts. That's the crazy thing. Mm. I believe everyone has, it's great. Have your own opinion. If you want to stay home and you don't feel good, you know, going out, don't go out. I believe that we need to be out. It's important. It's important to get out. And to do that, I've gotten vaxxed and, I need to be out. I need to be working. I need to be around people. I need to be social. I need to be careful about it. And you know, I found that like last night, people came to the shows, they were wearing masks. A lot of the people, they were careful, and people laughed and they came, you know, people came up to me afterwards, and I woke up this morning and had some Instagram messages, and I always get messages on TikTok and Instagram mm-hmm. and Facebook and stuff like that. And oh my God, I needed to laugh. Thank you so much. You know, it just makes me feel good because they're like, I haven't laughed in so long. This has been such a hard year, such a hard couple of years. And thank you. And it just makes me feel good, you know, because people have really been struggling, and laughter is big. It's so healing, and it really has helped people to get out and go to a comedy show.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
I know your motto, be silly. And there's, we're devoid of silliness for the last 2 years. And I hate that.
Yeah.
We need it. We need the silly. JessicaKearson.com is where you can get all the information to see her at Crazy Aunt Helen's in Washington, D.C. Two shows tomorrow night. I want to ask about your crowd work, because I woke up this morning to an Instagram of you talking to someone in the audience who perhaps had a compromised grasp of the English language. And it was sensational. And when you are in the moment like that, and I know people come out and they have their chunks and they know what they're going to talk about, but you can't plan your crowd work, can you? I mean, it's
no.
What goes through your mind when you're doing that? And when you sizzle like that, it's just, you're killing me. It's 5:45 and I'm dying laughing. What is going through your mind when you're doing and you're just killing it with something because there's someone in the audience that you just lock eyes with? What's that like?
You know, that's an interesting question. So I think that comes from a couple of things. First of all, my father has since passed, but he was the funniest person I ever met in my life. And I grew up with I don't have COVID.
Well, I think that's a default. We're like oh, yeah,
we're all putting on masks. It's fine. It's fine. Fine.
I had a coughing fit yesterday in my office, and I was like, well, I had to open the door, look around, and be like, I want to just clarify that everything is fine.
It's okay.
I love it so much.
It's 17 degrees with 0% humidity. And I'm coughing. I'm sorry.
And Jessica, we PCR test our entire team of what, 12 people now?
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
In-house, like we on a regular basis. And you still... You do your best, and that's all you can do.
That's what you do.
Of course,
that's the only thing you can do.
You know?
But back to your dad.
So my dad was the most brilliantly funny person I ever met in my life. Now, that's a huge statement considering I hang out with the biggest comics in the world.
Yeah.
Every week. I learned how to be incredibly quick because of him. I got his wit. I was around him more than anyone. He was my primary parent, and I really took on his sense of humor. He was so quick. I mean, constantly just bam, 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 bam. So that's where I got that from. Then I hosted for so many years. I emceed.
Right.
I got that advice from a lot of comics early on, from very big comics who would say, you need to host. It makes you very sharp. So I would host in New York City like every single night at the comedy clubs, and that's how I got into a lot of comedy clubs.
So I understand this better. The host is the one who opens the show and then bridges the other comics throughout the night, right?
Right. So how's everyone doing? Where are you from? What do you do? It's mostly crowd work,
uh-huh.
And then you bring up all the other comics. So I would talk to the crowd every single night. So I got very good at that and very comfortable, and it just became part of my act to talk to the crowd. And I am very quick like that. I can just do improv very quick with the audience,
so
and
fast.
It became a strength of mine. So I just kept doing it and doing it. And actually, about 3 weeks ago, I was supposed to film a crowd work special documentary at the Comedy Cellar.
Cellar
in New York has 4 rooms now. They have 4 comedy clubs within a block.
Right.
And so I was going to do 8 shows in one night. And I had a whole film crew. I had a director of photography, and I was going to do like the first woman who did a crowd work special, and do a documentary like about, you know, my life, and then only crowd work on 15 minute sets, 8 shows.
Wow.
So no jokes, no pre-planned anything. And then this Omicron.
Yeah.
We're going to get on the other side of this. This is something that you should definitely pursue. That is such a unique idea.
I'm going to do it in March.
Great,
yeah, everyone that came to the shows had to wear masks, and I said, I can't film this with people with masks on. It's crowd work.
And without getting in too much into the serious business of comedy, which is something we all sort of detest, you talk about your dad being so fast and so quick, but also your mom with her background as a psychiatrist or psychologist?
She's a therapist. Psychologist,
but also that has to also help because you understand people. You can probably sort of size people up pretty quick after talking to them a little bit. Does that also help?
That's a great point. My mom is a therapist. I've been in therapy since I'm 8 years old.
Eight.
Mostly in therapy.
Wow.
So there's not even like huge gaps where I wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I'm talking like a lot of different kinds of therapists, like not just, you know, regular one-on-one therapy. I mean, I've done many different therapies. So, I get it, and I get people, and I can talk to someone and really understand where they're coming from. And that helps enormously. I honestly think the best stand-up comics are in therapy, and most are, most of the
broken
comics.
People.
Well, most of the comics at the Comedy Cellar are in therapy. You know, we all talk about it and joke about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the better you understand yourself, the better of a comic you are. I really do.
So if you have a mother who's a therapist and a father who's an amazing wit, we've almost got the perfect storm. We've bred a comedian is what we've done.
It's true.
Jessica, does your wit, and we talk about this at length, especially when Mike's here, where when you fight with the one of the three of us and it's just verbal,
right?
It's almost not fair because we've done like 5 hours of radio in a row regular basis.
We're really good at it.
So even if it's our wives or if we're talking to a college, or we'll get in trouble because we automatically go into this mode of, oh, this is, I'm going to win this argument, or I'm going to make my point at a broadcast level, which may be audacious at times. And I find that level of standard operating procedure, when you get to the holidays or people that are not around that on a regular basis, especially your family, can be off-putting. Yeah. As I found out in Los Angeles this past break, where they're like, whoa, the hostility. I'm like, no, I'm just breaking balls. We're good.
It was a very angry Christmas for his family. To put it mildly.
Do you know, have you found yourself, and you're probably, frankly, better than most human beings because of the therapy you've had, but have you found yourself in a place where you're like, oh, I'm doing my shtick where I'm roasting my own family, or is that just something that's, accepted?
That's a good question. I love that. I don't roast my own family, but it's funny you're saying that because I was talking to a friend about this last night. I don't roast my family, but I react, and I don't stay silent when I hear things
right
that I'm not okay with.
Yes.
So sometimes I should probably keep my mouth shut, but if I hear something that I'm not, it's like kind of like I'm listening to a conversation in the room and I feel like I'm being heckled.
Is it almost,
and then I think something.
You go to instinct, right? I mean, you almost rear back a little bit, right?
Yeah. Or if someone says something to me, like for example, sometimes I'm going away to do a gig and someone, will say like, oh, you're going away again. And I'm like, do you want to pay my bills? Do you want to pay my mortgage? Because it's cheap. I have a very small mortgage. It's about $5,000 a month. Do you have the money to pay for it? Like, it's a strong reaction to just like, oh, you're going away again. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to react that. I'm like, oh, would you say this to a man? Would you say that you'd say this to a man? Like, it's just really over the top.
And then do you ever catch yourself and then you say, I'm sorry, Aunt Zelda, I didn't really mean it. But you're fast, so you got to go to it,
but
right?
I've had it with people. I don't say anything.
Right.
I don't make comments like that. I like keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
So I just react to people a lot. Like, I'm like, why are you even looking at what I'm doing? I'm so worried. Like, I'm so focused on myself and like trying to just get out of bed and be okay.
Right.
I don't get people that focus on other people.
Thank you for
the candor. Yeah.
The heckling makes complete.
It does.
It makes sense because on my end, and then I'll give you some insight. And Rob, we talked about this briefly off air, where you hear something and you're like, you'd think you're helping on our end. We're just giving advice to each other.
Right.
But we don't realize like, oh, they're not here for this. Like, this is not our domain. I'm good. And then you sit there. But then on the other side, the passive aggressive family dynamics when someone's like, they want to tell you something, but it takes forever to come around Jupiter.
Yeah.
So you hear like what's happening. Just say it.
And I'm sure you probably get this too. And this happens. We didn't have any big family get togethers over the holidays because of what's going on, but had like 11 people. And what they give me a lot is, hey, you know that show you do? I say, yeah. The thing that bought my house. Yeah. I know that show.
I get that too.
And they say, you know what would be funny?
I constantly get that. I always get that.
It's the worst, right?
It's the worst. I mean, that's the least of it. I get that constantly. You should do this, or this is a good joke for you. Or yeah.
My father, who's 80 and dances tango, I'm not making this up. He sits me down and
he is quite Bolivian, his father.
He says, I have all these tango videos of me dancing. I I would like your media firm to put this together in a high
media
value. How about your package? And at the end, you put your logo of your media company and you get advertising. And I'm like, because our demo is high 80s tango dancers. I'm sure.
We
I'm
get
sure
so that. Many calls from VHS tape enthusiasts that want tango videos. That's
eight track.
That's right.
Yeah. And then on the other side, I sit there and I'm sorry if we're taking too much of your time.
No, I love this.
This is great.
She can't wait to come out of the closet.
There's a piece of me that resents the fact that just because we're having fun and we laugh.
Right.
When we're at our job at times, sometimes it's tense, sometimes it's angry, depending on the days. But because we're having fun, my wife, my family, people that know me, they believe that it's not a job.
Yeah.
By the way, that is the thing that every comic talks about with each other, just so
really?
You know, feel any better. This is, if I think almost every weekend I'm on the road, I talk to at least one of my comic friends about this exact subject that you just brought up. People think that we're on a spa vacation. Okay. I'm in the middle of Ohio by myself in a dump hotel, like literally trying to stay alive and not cut myself and eating out of the vending machine, like with one eye open. And like, I feel like I've been assaulted, like beaten up. I can't even barely move. Like I'm barely alive. And someone's like, oh, like they think that I just had like a facial, that I had a massage. Yeah, that I'm like getting it's crazy. It's unbelievable. Like
it's a job.
Like when people say to me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to, Nebraska to do show. Oh, have fun. Have a great weekend. Like it's not fun. It's not.
Yeah.
It's stressful. It's upsetting. It's the only fun time is that 45 minutes I'm on stage. The rest of the time is not easy.
Hell, it's hell. And you can see the fun part tomorrow night at Crazy Anna Helen's tickets at JessicaKearson.com. I want to ask you, since we last spoke, your album dropped, The Call Girls. How has that been received?
I have it.
The voices are so sensational.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Strawberry cake with strawberry icing.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, my friend Rachel Feinstein and I made a prank album during COVID where we called businesses and we pranked them, and it was a lot of fun. We love it. We're making another one. We already have some tracks that we did, which are so funny. But we called a massage parlor as two old Jewish women and asked for a socially distanced massage.
So funny.
it was a blast. We really loved it. And then I have this this crowd work special documentary that I'm making. And then, you know, Joe Rogan is opening a club in Austin in April or May, and he asked me to do my next special there, my stand-up special.
Great. Oh, awesome. So that would be amazing. Great. And also, if you haven't seen it, and it needs to be mentioned again, your documentary that you executive produced, Hysterical, about women comedians is so great.
Yeah. It's on Hulu. Now it's on Hulu.
Oh, great. So, yeah. Check it out, folks.
Jessica, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if this is off limits or not, but I'm going to ask because that's what we do. The passing of Bob Saget.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up too.
Absolutely.
In our world, especially for me as a young talk show host, to have a comedian with that type of star, because he transcended comedy.
Yeah.
And the work he was constantly doing in this area with John Hopkins and Scleroderma, where we would see him on a regular basis in this area. And to a point that you know how much you forget about the things you do 5-10 years ago when you're at a high clip, just moving.
Every day.
And I'm going back through, the news is jarring, it's gut-wrenching. And I went in one of my old phones and I had Bob's number because he'd been on our show so many times and we'd hung out, off off air so many times that
the sweet story Oscar told, he's probably, I'll just mention real quick, is after seeing Bob in do a show, he said, what are you up to? He says, we're going out for some drinks. He said, Bob Saget asked Oscar, can I tag along?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm 22. I'm 22. And I said, yes. No, I'm sorry, 25 at that time. And then he's like, you know, I need to know what you 20-somethings are up to, because my latest girlfriend is 19. So I got to figure out what's going on so I get back. It was just so funny. And I just want to get your perspective. And I don't know much about your relationship or how you knew Bob or what, but I'd love to hear in your words.
Yeah, please.
Your thoughts.
So, I only had amazing experiences with him, which is what everyone, I haven't heard one negative thing from any comic. And I was around a lot of them last night. He was an amazing person. I wasn't very close friends with him, but every time I was with him, he was so incredibly welcoming and loving and nice. And he was so complimentary to me about my stand-up. I mean, that's what really just, you know, someone of his caliber. And when I was starting out years and years and years ago, or just would perform with him at the Laugh Factory, which isn't around in New York anymore, but a lot. I was with him there a lot. You know, he was in town for a while. And he was so nice to me about my stand-up. He was always like, you're amazing, you're amazing. And I would see him in LA a lot. And he was so giving and loving. And what I was saying about him last night to some comics at the Comedy Cellar was that he was so genuine. You know, it's rare. I love comedians. They're my friends. I mean, those are my closest friends. They're my brothers and sisters, but they are, you know, a lot are on a lot. I can be off. I can, like, I'm talking to you guys right now. I can be very real, which is not always the case. He wasn't like awkward. He was very real. Like, it's like just a kind of, I don't know what a normal person is. That's such a crazy thing to say, because no one's like normal, but there's a different thing with comedians, and you guys know, because you've talked to so many, where there's just this thing where they can be a little off or awkward or not really present or just very on, like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
But he was so just like a regular guy in so many ways, and so humble. Like, you would never know he was famous or rich or it. I just felt very comfortable with him. And it was very, it freaked me out a lot also, just as a comedian, that he was on the road, did a show, and went back to the hotel and passed. Like, that freaked me out, because I was like, you know, we spend our lives in hotels by ourselves. So that in a different way freaked me out.
Sure.
Just being alone.
Yeah.
And just passing away in a hotel room. Like, I just, it's so sad to me. You know. It's but listen.
The vending machines at the Four Seasons are nicer though than, you know.
That's true.
And now that they take credit cards, it makes it so much easier.
You're right. He probably had like a really nice cinnamon roll before he went. So just have to think about that.
Oh, Jesse.
And some great porn. So,
yeah, go for the full day package. Tomorrow night in Washington, D.C., two shows at Crazy Ann Allen's. You can get all the info at jessicakearson.com. Also, look for coming up in Morris Plains, New Jersey, East Providence, Rhode Island, Rochester, New York, and, of course, Las Vegas. Check that website, jessicakearson.com. We love you. You are appreciated. And the next time you're in town, please come see us, okay?
Absolutely. I love you guys so much. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime.
I will see you tomorrow night. I'll see you.
Oh, Oscar, yes, I'm so happy. I was going to see if you guys were going to come.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy, Oscar. That's awesome.
Very, very cool. Well, have a good one. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you,
Jessica.
Guys. Talk soon.
We're back in a sec. That's Jessica Kearson. She's my favorite. And we'll be back after this. I have a question for you.
Please.
And it involves Dan O'Brien.
Oh, can't wait.
You might like it.
Can't wait.
So we'll do the Dan O'Brien show right after this. It's the Mike O'Mara show. And thank you, Jessica.
The Fox Network is responsible for some of the most useless competition shows in the history of television. The Masked Singer. So You Think You Can Dance. I Can See Your Voice. Beat Shazam. Alter Ego. The Masked Dancer. And now the Fox Network has come up with the stupidest, most pointless, and confusing competition show ever. I Can Hear You Dance. Masked judges score masked dancers based on the sound of their dancing. Sound confusing? You bet it is. I Can Hear You Dance. It'll have your wang tips smoking.
On my left foot. On my right foot.
Who wins? Who loses? Who cares? You'll always be a winner when you buy the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Subscribe today at MikeO'MaraShow.com. I Can Hear You Dance is produced by Alive Bear and only on Fox Midnight.
How can a live bear produce a show? That's silly. Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know what I'm obsessed with. Best Fiends. Love it. It's a great game on your phone. I can't put it down. And now that the holidays are over and things are a bit, how shall I say, dreary? Not as much fun
dreary.
As it. Yeah, there's no better time to lose yourself in the Fiendiverse, Oscar. Mm. Get into the Fiendiverse. Best Fiends is a mobile puzzle game that anyone can download and play. Whether you have a few minutes or a few hours, Best Fiends features tons of cute characters that help you solve thousands of fun puzzles. The more you play, the more characters you collect, and the more you win, the more challenges you face. Here's the thing, if you're waiting in line, mm-hmm. you have a minute, you can play it. Or if you have 2 hours, you can play it.
Yes.
It's wonderful. You never get bored because it's always changing. The best thing, though, is you got to get out there. You got to beat those slugs. Right now, I'm on level 5002. I cracked 5K. Mm. And it's called Tight Place. And you have to get 12 green slimes, 45 rainbow light bulbs, and 100 water droplets. And if you can't do that, forget it. You don't belong in the Fiendiverse.
Oh, no.
No, you got to do it, man. Anyway, thousands of levels. You can play as long as you want and never get bored. Trust me, Rob Spiewak. I know. Get on the Best Fiends bandwagon now. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Mm. And you can thank me later. It's the greatest puzzle game I've ever played. So it's awesome. Now, the other day, I guess it was... would have been Monday afternoon. I was going to stop by.
Monday.
I was going to stop by and say, hey, this and that and that and this. And I'm going home. And you were in the kitchen and there was a tension in the kitchen. It was you and Shannon and Dan O'Brien. And you didn't look like you were ready to make small talk. So I just said, I'll check you later. What was going on?
With old Dan O'Brien?
Yeah. His eyebrows were very, very high on his forehead. I'll just say this, that.
Every boss, yes. or leader, or team leader,
yeah.
or team lead, or entrepreneur out there, or small business owner, whatever you may have going on, the level of work that needs to be put in to build a team is tremendous.
Of course,
and it doesn't matter if you have Ivy League graduates on your team or self-made, self-educated, not necessarily just an undergrad, but whoever you're working with, you learn that there's a level of, if I have to teach you, how can I do, like, if I, you, there's a level of, like, let me rewind a little bit. This is what it,
all right.
There is, I'm trying to be tactful here. There is a level
I feel of, there's a moment in this story where you're not going to be tactful, so
yes.
lay as much tact as you can.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know when you find an opportunity, you're like, I can mold this person into something new.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like much like finding a girlfriend that you know, or boyfriend that you know, is absolutely crazy, but she's got an amazing ass.
And so you can fix it.
You're like, you know what? That took us. Is worth all the craziness.
As a rule, it's not in the long run.
Well, I mean, I think I would know more than you would.
Yeah, but I would say probably not.
No, I'm just saying, but realistically,
but yeah,
right?
But yeah. You're painting with broad brushes.
You've had like
yeah.
one girlfriend and one wife, so I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in toxic relationships, terrible relationships.
Yes.
And I just have.
Right.
The current one I have now, my wife, I hope that's the last one, and it's wonderful.
I'll offer this compliment. Let's say just in round terms, we have 12 team members here at
yes,
Podville
yes,
Media.
Yes.
Dan is certainly one of them. And you have put together a great staff here.
Well, I don't we're know lucky.
That,
we're
I don't
lucky.
Know that I've ever worked at a place, and I've worked at quite a few environments where there's not one person I dislike. And I love everyone here And you've done a great job putting that together.
Thank you. Thank you. It's not easy, especially if you're working remote or you have this great resignation that's just happening around the world, especially in this country where
we are a part of the resignation.
You're putting a collective group of new people and personalities together.
Right.
Dan is neither of those because we've known him for years.
Yes, we have.
And I had a big powwow with Dan in November, right around Thanksgiving, where I said, okay,
sort of have monthly powwows with him, don't you?
This is your trajectory. This is how far you've come.
This is what's going to happen.
You're coming along. Let's build you up. And I feel comfortable, by the way, talking about this on air because this is, you'll see what the end of the rainbow looks like. And it has overlap on the show. And I talked to Dan. Dan's cool with me talking about this. He's come a long way since we met little Daniel.
Yes.
When he was Mr. Smith comes to Washington.
Yeah, and he didn't have a beard then.
And he busted up his foot because he decided to walk 19 miles in dress shoes.
Forgot about that.
Yes.
When he had a cane.
So one of the services that we provide at Podville, which really makes us stand out, is that we distribute these mobile broadcast kits with the Comrex in there, the multi-$1,000 solutions, around the world. At all times, we have 18 of these, soon to be 20, in different locations around the world.
They come, they go, they are quality checked, and they allow people to have studio quality sound.
Correct.
Anyone who has the internet can sound like they're in a recording studio.
It's a massive, massive investment, but the results speak for themselves.
They're amazing.
And what is fascinating to me is that while Dan does a great job helping coordinate this, he's the first line of defense,
right?
With the logistics, which is it's just a matter of like moving pieces around on the board, and there is support for that. Is that at times he will do something that will not upset me; it'll confuse me.
Because it's beyond the fact that it's been an error, you can't understand the basis of the error.
Yeah, I need to know why something is happening or why something happened. So 2 days ago, we have a test with a possible guest for one of the shows.
Right.
What does a test mean, Oscar? Well, we have to send equipment out and then test it before it works. There's no like, so when the client arrives and the guest arrives, all they care about is actually just broadcasting.
You hit connect and you go.
Can you plug this in? No. We do our best to get that out of the way beforehand. And I walk out after the show and I realize that Dan O'Brien's gone and I text him, hey, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm just dropping off a Comrex. I'm thinking he's going to FedEx to drop off a Comrex.
Which
going
is
going to be overnighted to somebody.
Three buildings away. You just go over, you drop.
Not three buildings. It's the next building. It's right here.
It's right here.
It's like literally around the corner.
Okay.
Next building. So I walk back out and he's still not at his station. And I'm like, oh, did he get mugged? What happened? Like he's been gone for some time.
Yes.
And another hour goes by. It's 2 hours, and I'm like, are you okay? He goes, yeah, just coming back. I'm like, well, maybe I don't know what happened, but I can't keep track of him.
Right. And you've got other things to do.
Yeah,
your job
I'm on all these other calls.
Right.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. And he comes back. I see him. He's back. I don't think twice about this. And I see him later on this afternoon. He goes, hey, I need to talk to you. I'm like, hey, what's up? And he says, that Uber I took cost $320.
Oh, no!
I said, Dan, where did you take an Uber? And he goes, a little past Front Royal.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
And explain to the world that's not from the D.C. area.
Okay. Washington, D.C., when people say D.C., they often include parts of Maryland and Virginia. I'm far out enough in Virginia that I'm barely part of the D.C. area. Front Royal is a million miles further out than that.
Correct.
No, it's way out there. It's probably 60 miles outside of town.
So I don't know where we're in the clock.
Oh, you know what? Let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll pay this off. Hey, you know that Uber I took? It cost a lot of money. I took it to New York City. New York City.
Baltimore, Philadelphia.
How much was it?
$320.
Wow, FedEx is a deal compared to that. We'll get the payoff on this when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Sonny Jurgensen.
Sonny Jurgensen, good to see you.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
Hot dog.
Sonny was a great quarterback.
Accustomed to getting his way.
A man who probably had permanent damage done to his ass because of the amount of kissing for
it's
his
true.
Entire life.
Excuse me, Mr. Jurgensen. My name is Rob Spiewak, and he holds up his hand like Caesar. He says, I know who you are. He waves to me, but he never takes the plum out of his mouth.
Getting kind of crowded in here, Jim. Getting kind of crowded.
Hot dog.
If there was a podcast Hall of Fame, the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show would be the first inductee. It's what keeps the daily TMOS episodes coming to your device every day. Order a bonus show subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Hot dog. Hot dog.
I love the bonus show. But I also love Cornerstone.
Yes.
Yes. Did you know what's the second most popular New Year's resolution?
You tell me.
The first is getting in shape.
Yes.
And I'm on it.
But America, I know I have fat face. I'm working on it, right?
No, it's not his face. Adjust your set.
No, it's a fat face.
No, it's thin. Thin, baby. But after getting in shape, saving money. So with the new year upon us and mortgage rates still at historic lows, you can use the equity in your home to cover your outstanding holiday expenses, pay off credit cards, or take cash out for any reason. And here's the best thing. It's tax deductible, but you have to work with a company you can trust. I trust Cornerstone First Financial. I've used them twice. Twice, they're fantastic.
Twice.
My good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial, they're a direct lender with their own money, so they can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. So what's wrong with that? Not a thing. Even if you're working with another company, use them as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your family. So whether it's a purchase or a refi, take my advice and call the team at Cornerstone First and make the one resolution that you can take to the bank. Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of this program, The Mike O'Mara Show, for over 6 years, one of our greatest clients and genuine friends and good people. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Or easy, use the internet. Bitcoin.
Internet, Bitcoin, TikTok, sorry.
CornerstoneFirst.com.
I
know, you're reliving it. CornerstoneFirst.com, and Happy New Year from Cornerstone First Financial.
Okay.
So Dan drops this, and this is like at the end of Monday, right?
Late afternoon. He's been back for hours.
Hours.
So he said, excuse me. My voice probably cracked then too. He says, The Uber I took this morning cost $320. I said, where did you go, Philadelphia? He goes, and then he tells me where he went, like past front row. We're talking about an hour and 10-minute trip with no traffic.
Right.
And I said, why would you do that? And he said, well, I texted you last week, and you said, and I asked, should I FedEx this? Or you said it's 60 miles away or a little more than that. Should I FedEx this or should I Uber and Bill? And I said, and this is just a quick text, right?
Right, right.
And I said, what? And I said, and I looked at my text, and he's right. And I did say Bill, but I'm thinking Bill the FedEx to the client, because that is the cheapest of the options.
Right, of course.
We want to save people money. That's the whole point. They're counting on us.
I think this is about the point I walked into the kitchen. Now, I don't know if you remember the old show Batman, when Mr. Freeze had an environment where there was cold blocks and warm blocks in his hideout. You were definitely in an ice cold block at this point.
Yes.
I wanted nothing to do with it.
I did not understand. And I said, come to my office. So he comes to my office and he explains to me.
Hey, buddy.
That you know, why or how. And the logic he was giving me didn't make any sense. And I said, you know, like, just think, walk me through this. Because I don't know what I don't know. And if maybe we didn't lead him correctly to just stop him in his tracks and say, this is probably not appropriate.
Right.
I said, so I was like, hey, you could have taken our Volvo if you needed to go there. But, you know, FedEx realistically is going to be cheaper. It's so close. And then on top of that, we lose you for 3 hours.
Yeah, time.
So, you know, there are other responsibilities here. And I'm counting that you manage your time, blah, 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 blah. And he looks at me and goes, okay, so moving forward. And I'm like, no. And the okay moving forward means, and I don't need someone to cry in front of me, or I just need someone to explain to me how something happened so it doesn't happen again.
That's a classic Dan. You know what? If you had to qualify Dan's different characters, that's a corporate Dan move. When you're moving forward, because that means that we're done with this now. And
Moving forward. And I explained to him, I said, I want to develop, like, I'm here to do the best I can with. And I really do have You know, this isn't funny, but I do care for Dan and I want the best for him. And we're not going to pass that cost along to the client. We will absorb that. But I,
we are pawning Dan's coat.
I said to him, hey man, I just don't know what goes through someone's mind when they see, when you ask for the, because he's using his own Uber. He's not using someone like, and then we have to reimburse it.
Right. Right.
I don't know what goes through, because when you hit Front Royal and it's at $100+, does anything trigger in your mind, oh, this is a long trip and maybe I should talk to somebody about this instead of just like slinking out like a potted plant?
Yeah, and you had said your simplistic reply to the original text was vague at best. A verification
last
wouldn't
Tuesday.
Have killed him. Yeah, it wouldn't have killed him. It wouldn't have killed him to verify
it. But I said, Dan, I'm not always right. And I think that's the sign of a great leader. Like this is a collective win.
Right.
If something's off, I want somebody to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if something's right, it's right. But a $300+ Uber trip
plus being out of the office for 3 hours
makes zero sense.
It can't make sense.
And
did he have anything to say to that?
No, I thought he was, because I kept on, and then Shannon walks in and she's like, and then you go through all the, and look, if there was something off about this or he was going through something personal, I wouldn't talk about this on there.
Right.
He's fine. He just made a boneheaded decision and we're past it. But Shannon walks in, she goes, everything I was saying, I was like, I think that Dan O'Brien is gaslighting me. He's making it seem like there's nothing wrong here and I'm the crazy person.
Well, I mean, in his past, he's had a history of not the best decisions.
He's getting
better.
Yeah, he's growing up, and I think he's going to develop into a fantastic professional.
Right.
And I just felt like it really is. You mentioned,
was he related to the Uber driver?
No.
Was he like tossing a bone to his cousin?
And I don't want to put myself in his shoes because I have a different operating system.
Right. Sure.
But I don't know how I'd feel about just leaving work for 3 hours.
Without at least double. The thing is that kills me is he didn't double check.
Or seeing on my own card how that's going to hit. Or like, Dan's starting out in life.
Right.
Like, can you just roll with $100+ initial hit and then another $100+? You got to get back.
Right, exactly. Or he's just going to set up housekeeping in Front Royal. I found a great place out here.
And it's just, it's a level of, and again, we're past this.
Right.
And I wasn't even going to bring it up, but Rob asked me about it. So here you go.
Well, you were,
America.
You teased me with it yesterday.
Yes,
I had to know. And I was an ancillary player in it.
Maybe Pony, you give me some perspective here. Old me, 5 years, maybe 10 years ago would have been, no, 5 years ago would have been just, I would have exploded and yelled like across the hall.
Absolutely.
I took him into my office. You know, I basically gave him a verbal hug and then said, I got to be tough on you. This is what's going to happen. It's not just, there's some accountability, clearly. But I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And I got to be honest with you. I just don't have the time to sit there and like really hash it out and be like, okay, this, I just don't want it to happen again.
Right. Right.
Right.
Moving forward.
What do you think, Pwn?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating, especially when you consider the fact that when you set up an Uber ride, you see what the total is going to be ahead of time. And at that point, I would have said, Jesus Christ, like, this is going to cost, you know, $300 by the time
I get
back.
I could have flown to Miami and back.
Yes.
Is there an airport?
A task rabbit.
Is there a Front Royal airport?
This is the
he
thing.
He could have gone national to Front Royal.
He should. I bet you he could have flown on a fractional private jet.
A little puddle jumper?
Yes. Gotten back faster. And paid the same amount of money.
How would you like to get a text that says, with the Comrex, do you want me to FedEx it or do you want me to charter a jet?
Can I drop it by parachute?
Yeah. Can you meet me at the Front Royal Air Park?
Front Royal International Airport.
There is an airport.
Indiana
I have
Jones.
Flown out of it. Like, I know.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Concorde services it, but I'm sure there's a place there.
Yeah, unless you're, you know, John Warner IV, like, you don't take a car, like, a private car to anywhere past probably 10 miles
Oscar,
at most.
Oscar calls him on his cell phone. He says, Oscar, I can't hear you. The chopper blades are so loud.
And that's what it comes down to. I was like, does this guy think he's Elon Musk? Because he dressed like,
what did he?
Dan O'Brien dresses like the main character in a movie, but he's
Paddington?
he's an extra. He is.
That is true, though.
He is an extra, and yeah. I hope that he, you know,
he's background.
Yeah, and I can't wait till he becomes, you know, a supporting character. But right now, like, he's not getting his SAG card.
This is a great allegory.
I don't know. I think he needs a spinoff now.
No.
His own show?
Yeah.
He may show up at the wrong studio, for God's sakes.
He would be a crime fighter that was always late to the crime.
He's the best dressed of our crew. Like, yes. He has, like, a top coat, and I appreciate all of that. But I bet when he was like, I need a private car to Front Royal, Virginia, and it's going to be an hour. And because the logic there is like, okay, if that's an emergency, we'll pay for it.
Sure. If that's the necessity.
Yeah.
But it ain't a necessity.
No.
And I think the reason he dresses so nice is that small clothes are cheaper.
No, he does dress nice.
He does.
But I think the clothes.
He's not plagued with height, though.
The clothes, he is not the main character.
Okay, you know what he is? On MASH, he's not a doctor.
He thinks he is.
He's a patient.
He loves saying how proud he is of himself. I said, stop. Stop being proud of yourself. Please. Be scared of your decisions and move forward and learn. Because when we all
He was the only person that was gutsy enough to take a goofy headshot.
What? And I don't want to put someone's flame out, but if you've got like...
You can trim the wick, though.
I just want to make sure he doesn't have a wonky wick. You know how you get a can that's all smashed down? That's what Dan O'Brien... I want to pull that wick out and make it go nice and straight.
Wonky wick is not as good as John Wick if you're looking at movies.
So I gave him the virtual hug, and I was like, this is what we're going to do, because you have to be the boss sometimes. But I sat there, and this is when you know you care too much about what you do.
Yeah.
I'm in the shower that night.
Okay, now it's sexy time.
No, I'm furious. Like, it all comes back to me.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, how does this? And then I was like, let it go, man. Let it go. Wake up the next morning. This is yesterday. I'm furious.
Yeah, it stays with you.
And then I walk in. I see him, and he's smiling. He's like, need a Red Bull? And I said, oh, how can I be mad at you? Like, it's Dan O'Brien.
Yeah, but the thing is he actually got an Uber to Baltimore to buy the Red Bull.
He's like, I know you wanted the commemorative O's can, so I went to Baltimore.
This one was held by Cal. It was a Cal Red Bull. Well, Oscar,
you get what I'm saying, right?
Moving forward,
yes,
it's going
to
be okay.
No, I said to him, I said, you got to come to me now. Like, you got to come to me.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to take the Volvo.
Yeah.
No more Ubers for you. We have to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. God, it's
surreal.
It's amazing.
It's like I'm having the stress of having a son or a daughter that calls me with a bill on the Amex.
Yeah.
Without having fathered them or having all the great parts of waking up as an adult and saying, look at that little guy. One day he's just going to give me so many headaches.
Well, you haven't had a chance to wire him for 23 years. I mean, at least when Robert screws up, if he ever will, I will say, you know what? This is on me, because I've had him the whole time. I've wired him wrong. But this, you bring this, what you've got is a reconditioned son.
Yeah.
You bought him. He was new in packaging, used. But reconditioned.
Debbie, Debbie, I love you. He's fine. We'll take care of him. But let me tell you, I don't know how you did it.
No, you know what? He probably needs a weekend at home. How much is it?
He was there for 2 weeks.
How much is it for an Uber to New Jersey?
I'll find out one day, I'm sure.
Hey, we're going to have to bill this to my mom. When we come back, I've got a story about Christmas I've been meaning to tell.
I can't wait.
That is, it involves tears.
Oh.
Both happy and sad. So when we come back, we're going to warm your heart. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You listening, Dan?
Hello, it's Bernie. And you know what I hate? Well, frankly, I hate most everything. But I really hate splinters. They hurt. And I'm always losing my tweezers. And it's frustrating. Hey, so, what's the solution? Stop it at the source. Make sure all your wood is smooth. Go to the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center and buy one of their fantastic Bernie sanders. Plug it in and go to work in your wood shop. Your raw lumber doesn't stand a chance. Smooth as a baby's ass and no more splinters. They sell tweezers too. Target and Walmart, they sell it all. Just access it at MikeOMaraShow.com. Feel the burn.
The reason I play that promo is when I see Charlie Bernie around the Podville studios, I always say, "That's my friend Bernie." And he says, "Bernie Sanders." So, hello, Charlie. Now that it's a new year, you're going to see a lot of ways to, quote unquote, lose weight. And guess what, Oscar? Most of them won't work.
It's time to get back on it.
That's right. That's why I like Noom. Noom uses psychology to empower you with the knowledge and skills you need to build smarter, long-term habits and behaviors. Noom doesn't believe in restricting what you can or can't eat. Noom gives you the knowledge and wisdom you need to make informed choices that not only fit your lifestyle, but also help you to reach your goals. You are the boss. You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. You decide how much time you spend on the app because it's up to you. Noom is grounded in science. It's at the heart of everything they do. They have published more than 30 peer-reviewed scientific articles that inform users, practitioners, scientists, and the public about how their methods work and how effective they are. If you saw Carla on the show this week, you know how great she looks.
Yes.
Oscar loves Noom. Carla loves Noom, and you can sign up for your trial and get psychology-based support and motivation to reach your goals at noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom, noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial. So do it today. I've been meaning to get to this, and we've had so much to talk about. I haven't had a chance to. Julia has become a supreme gift giver. And it's great that she has that graphic design knowledge and she could make stuff and she has a creative mind. She made an amazing original drawing for my mom that my mom has wanted for years. It's from a movie, and she just did a screen cap and she recreated it for my mom. And my mom was, again, tears of joy because it's something she's wanted for so long. Well, what she did for Carrie for Christmas this year, and pardon me one second while I pad so I can clear my throat.
Please, yeah. Maybe she'll get you a lozenge.
Yes, thank you. I'd appreciate it.
Can you look at the camera as you just keep looking at me? And
well, you're so beautiful.
And we have a wonderful audience.
Yes, we do.
Pretend like we do this.
So
we've done this for 12 years.
So one thing that Carrie has and has had for a long time is when Robert was in the throes of his treatment for leukemia,
yes,
is she took him to Build-A-Bear. Now, Build-A-Bear is a racket. I'm not a big fan of Build-A-Bear because the whole deal is they give you like a lifeless bear body and you
I love Build-A-Bear.
And you put in the heart and the mess and then you stuff it.
But if you're going with your family or kids.
Yeah, I guess. And it's always meant a lot to Carrie. And what happened is when Robert did the Build-A-Bear, this had to have been 15, 16 years ago, they did a recording of his voice. So when you press the bear's paw, it would play Robert's voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie loved it because it preserved his voice as a little kid, little baby boy. And it was very, very cute. But the battery ran out because it was 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she bemoaned this for years. So Julia called Build-A-Bear and said, "Can you replace the battery in the recording unit?" And they said, "Of course." And she said, "Oh, okay, cool." So she snuck in to Carrie's cedar chest, took the bear, took it to Build-A-Bear. They opened it up, and they said, "Oh, this is a really old unit. We don't stock this battery anymore. But there's a jeweler downstairs at the mall that can do it." And Julia said, "Cool. Can I leave the bear here and go do it?" And they said, "Yeah." So she goes down to the jeweler, and this is when I get a text. I'm at home. She's at Fair Oaks Mall. I get a text from her. She says, "Dad, I'm crying."
Aw.
And I said, what's the matter? She says, I can't believe I did what I did. I can't believe this is so bad. And I call her. I mean, and this is weird because you never call a teenager because they hate talking on the phone. And I call her and I hear like lighthearted Christmas music background in the mall. It's happy. It's like December 23rd. She said, "I killed the bear." I said, "What?" She said, "The jeweler," and she talked to me about how she had to go to the jeweler. She said, "I watched the jeweler take the recording box out, and when he changed the battery, he hit the record button, and erased Robert's message.
Oh,
and
man.
She said, I watched him do it, tried to make him stop. I snatched it out of his hands, hit the play button, and all I heard was generic mall Christmas music and me saying, no, 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 you're recording over it.
Oh, no.
So not only did the message get destroyed, she never even heard the message. So it's gone. And she says,
heartbreaking.
She was destroyed. She says, Dad, I was just trying to do something for Mom. And and now it's gone forever. There's no way
That's
we can do
brutal.
It.
Brutal.
And she is just destroyed. And as a dad, to hear your daughter cry like that right before Christmas.
Know. Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Was there any thought to putting swapping that recording out for the hello?
Yeah, she put her own voice
yes.
in. Well, no, that didn't come up. I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to go back up to Build-A-Bear and see if there's anything that can be done. And I said, okay, call me, let me know. So she goes up to Build-A-Bear and they say, no, that's a one-time recording unit. And if it's gone, it's gone. And then I had an idea and I called her back. I said, I think we're going to be okay here. Let me do something. And I go back and I save everything. I'm a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, people mock me for it. But I also had about probably 6 or 7 hours of raw tape of me talking to Robert when he was about that age. And I went through all of it.
Mm.
And I kind of remembered what he said on the original Build-A-Bear message.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of reconstructed it. And it had to be 17 seconds. That's how much can be recorded.
Yeah.
And so I put it together. And I said, Julia, I think we're going to be okay.
Oh, wow.
And she said, what did you do? I said, listen to this.
Hello, I'm Robert Peewack. I like Batman.
Wiggle.
Wolfman.
Game Minion.
And Hada. I'm Robert Peewack.
Mommy,
I love you. Bye-bye.
Aww.
And the thing you can't understand that he says, he likes Batman, Wiggles, King's Dominion, and hot dogs.
Yeah, we understand. Yeah.
But anyway, that was when I played that.
How did you have it again?
I did a lot of videotaping of the kids, but I would also record them. I always felt that you got a better representation of a kid if they weren't worried about being videotaped.
Man, you love your family.
And so, yeah, I
my dad was probably taping like girls in bikinis in Ocean City.
But it took.
He did not care about us.
That was my entire December 23rd. Was
wow.
putting together that 18 seconds and some sort of.
And how do you just play it on a speaker for the device?
No, now it's so modern. It used to be press record mm-hmm. talking to the box. Now you email Build-A-Bear the MP3 and they put it in, they drag and drop it into the unit and sew it back into the bear.
So was it a new recording unit? Because this was the
yeah,
one that was
brand new. Brand new.
Wow.
New technology. And so not only now do I have this backed up in two different locations,
yes.
but to see Carrie open that bear and realize what went down and played it and the fact
That's
she said
so thoughtful.
She said, oh my God, you found him saying I love you. I didn't tell her that it was actually him saying he loved me, but I put mommy in front of it. But I was able to trick her. But anyway,
that's the genius.
So
part.
There was a lot of tears. There was tears of sadness, and
that's
there were tears
amazing.
Of joy. And
Father
I'm not,
of the year.
I'm not going to mention the jeweler at Fair Oaks Mall, but it's the first floor at Fair Oaks Mall. Don't go there.
Oh, they don't know.
He blew it.
They don't. They're dealing with the old technology. It's on a Rolex watch.
They'll erase your Rolex.
The Speewax are the worst. Hey, can you do something that you don't usually do, but you know, just for like, you know, you're helping me out. They could say, hey, we don't deal with that.
Well, you know what? Still wrecked my day.
Their fault. You saved the day.
I'm not the hero here. The story is not about being a hero.
I think
the story is about
hero.
Being a villain.
You're the main character.
No. The main character is the bear.
That might be true.
And the bear actually now is living. Carrie loves it so much. He is living on the sofa in our front room.
Oh,
she
sweet.
Loves it. So that was probably my greatest Christmas moment.
I think so.
The worst Christmas moment, of course, the shelf that is still on the floor of my laundry room. So hopefully we can get to that this weekend. But
is it we you?
Isn't we all of us? We're going to go to Soundtown. When we come back, trust me, folks, it's going to be great. I'll play that Robert tape 15 times. We'll all go home. This is the Michael Merritt Show.
Yeah, boy.
Rick Schofield.
Let's kick it.
O'Mara.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
All right, stop.
Tune it in
and listen.
Mike is back with the podcast invention.
Download
TMOS on the daily. Become a P1 just like
Sherry Daly. Mike,
Oscar, Rob, and Pony. That's the crew of my podcast home.
I got a fever. And the only prescription
is an annual bonus subscription.
Go
to MichaelMaraShow.com. Light the fuse of a comedy laugh bomb.
iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Spotify, make your smartphone richer.
Love it or leave it, you better hit play. You'll eat it all up.
Yo, the whole tray?
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while Pony revolves.
Mike, baby.
Woo!
Need to fuck it out.
O'Mara.
Mike, baby.
Ooh, yeah!
I didn't realize Pony was revolving it on that promo. I think that's nice. DJ Pony. Hey, Oscar, here is a great, great New Year's resolution. If you're like most folks, there's a box of your family's treasured home movies and photos tucked in a closet that you've been meaning to preserve but weren't sure where to start. Luckily, Legacy Box makes it easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box. They send you a box. You fill it up with old home movies, photos, everything. Then you get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. I got mine on a thumb drive.
Yes.
But you can also get it on a DVD.
I saw my grandfather for the very first time a year ago. I didn't know we had a picture of him because we digitized my mom's photo albums.
That's amazing. And you can also get it on the cloud. It's so cool. It's like magic. Legacy Box is the industry leader, and they've helped over a million customers safeguard and preserve their past. We've all used it. Legacy Box's team of 200 trained technicians process 19 different media types, everything from VHS to Super 8 film and everything in between. They do it by hand right here in the USA. Each kit includes everything you need to safely pack and send your recorded moments, access to a personal concierge, and also safety stickers for every item. They will update you all along the way during the process. I felt so safe the way they kept me updated when they did all my stuff. So it's the best thing you possibly do. Bring your past to the present and the future. Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to take advantage of an exclusive discount for TMOS listeners. Remember, that's legacybox.com/TMOS. And now,
yes.
I don't normally hit this button, so give
me a second. It's time for...
Yeah, we're taking a trip. The sound test.
Did you hear that?
Listen. What a sound.
Do you hear?
The sound.
There's a new sound.
The sound.
Sound Town.
I'm not a very healthy eater, but there are some times that people go over the top, and I think they've gone too far. Waffle House is starting to sell something they call the heart attack burger, and it was invented by a customer that custom ordered it. Listen to the description of it.
I remember this burger I made back in 2019. He called it a heart attack burger. He said he saw it on TikTok. So it's a patty melt with bacon, hash browns, cheese, and chili in an over medium egg. I wasn't sure what to think, but I tried it. It is absolutely phenomenal. I was so busy, but I kept finding time to go back into the back room and keep eating it. It was that good. The look on my face could not describe how good it was.
One of my favorite things about America is that we occasionally put a fried egg on a cheeseburger. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think chili is over the top, and hash browns... No, I don't think hash browns on a hamburger. Your thoughts?
I think it's interesting because everyone that indulges a little bit too much on any level, right?
Right.
Whether you're an alcoholic or you're an overeater or whatever, maybe they're disgusted by the obvious. And by that, I mean,
what do you mean?
They're disgusted by like, yeah, I could put all that together, but you know, you're just doing it to show off.
Right, right.
You could eat all that in one sitting, no problem.
Yeah.
But together you're like, ugh.
Well, I mean, doesn't it sound...
Rookie mistake.
It sounds sloppy to put chili on it.
I think it's a little unhealthy to put a tater tot garnish on some sort of dish at home.
But that is no different really than like a shepherd's pie, which is just mashed potatoes on meat. No, but
see, that's how you justify things. It's no different.
No, it's the same.
It's still unhealthy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the presentation of chili on a hamburger. I don't think it's great.
Ah. I disagree. Chili would be good.
Okay,
depending on the
especially
you go with
spicy.
It?
Yes. All right, very spicy.
Spicy.
Hey, you make it spicy. All right. Do you get annoyed when gas pumps talk to you? I hate it.
No. I don't mind it. I think it's
do you watch
it's
the
commercials.
Gas pump TV?
The commercials. Someone's making money. I'm fine with it.
I like this guy. He's
what do you want? Just silence?
Yes. And you know what? I don't want chili on my gas. Yeah,
tell me about my Shell points.
So anyway, there's a guy on YouTube. His name is Charlie Behrens. He said, it's getting so bad. This is what he fears he's going to get when he gets gas.
Would you like a car wash?
Nope. I'll get one when it rains.
Are you a rewards member?
Nope.
Would you like to sign up today?
No.
Are you aware you could get 3% back on all purchases?
You got to be kidding me. No.
Have you seen a therapist about your anger issues?
What?
Is your anger just a disguise for your sadness?
I don't know. You don't have a maybe button.
I understand. It's going to be okay.
Thank you. I just don't have room to talk to about it.
I'm here for you. Perhaps you just need a safe space to express your sadness.
Yeah.
Would you like a car wash?
This is him in the car wash. So anyway, that's what's going on with gas pumps. People are trying to get COVID on purpose.
The new bad idea floating around is people who want to get the virus just to get it over with. So much so, health officials are now urging Americans not to go out and catch COVID on purpose. Imagine they have to tell us that. Please don't intentionally give yourself a deadly disease. I haven't heard an idea that bad since the, I don't know if you remember the I'm Here for the Herps campaign in the 90s.
Now, have they proven the fact that if you get COVID, you're clear, you can catch it again, right? I mean, they don't have...
You have, once you go through...
You have the antibodies, right?
Yeah, so you can get sick again, but it's...
A different variant.
It's a different... No, it's... Depends on the variant, depends on your level of immunity.
Yeah.
We're not all created equal, but you've all learned this. So just because someone didn't get that sick or they got really sick doesn't mean we just don't know how we're going to react to it.
All I know is it's like chicken pox. You can only get it once. You can only get it once, Pony.
I am on Jessica's side, though. You have to live your lives.
I agree. Take every responsibility you can.
Yeah, you have to be responsible about it. But right. You also, will be in a better place in March. The heart of hearts will be there.
I hope so. And you know what? Thank you again to Jessica for spending.
Great.
She's so generous with her time. Jerry Rice, NFL great. Is promoting Lay's potato chips. Now, if you follow Lay's on Twitter, you can be a part of this exciting new promotion, Oscar, where they have a special potato chip for every NFL team because the potatoes are grown in the soil from that city.
Oh, interesting.
Horrible.
Lay's took soil from the home grounds of the NFL teams across America and under the careful watch of their farmers mixed it into separate parts of an actual potato field to create chips infused with the grounds of each NFL team. It's called Golden Grounds, the Lay's chips you love, grown in the glory of the teams you adore.
Do you really want Landover potato chips?
No, I think that they should have looked at the zip codes.
Exactly.
Like there, that is not the farm to chip movement.
Farm to bag
is only appealing where you're like, oh, it's in the mountains of the Shenandoah.
You actually just made a pun.
Yeah,
appealing.
Oh, there you go.
You peel the potatoes. But what would be the best NFL chip? Do you think?
Probably. The San Francisco 49er stadium.
You think so?
San Jose.
Yeah. The worst? Vegas?
Not Vegas.
The Raiders potato chips.
That's a tough... I mean, it's a gimmick.
Yeah, it is.
About the gimmick.
And also, you know, it reminded me... You might not even remember this. There was a Kiss, the rock band Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a comic book, and they said the red ink in the comic book has blood of the members of KISS in
it. Yeah, but if you're such
there can be a trace of dirt.
If you're such a large, conglomerate, you've probably done all the other stuff.
Someone's like,
oh, let's do this Lay's farm-to-chip situation. It's going to the NFL be involved. But they don't realize that most of these stadiums are in terrible places.
Yeah, they really are.
The Meadowlands? No, thank you.
Hey, my chip has Jimmy Hoffa in it.
By the way, Mike ranted and raved yesterday about the Giants.
Yeah.
They fired their coach as soon as we were done with the show.
Well, I thought they said it was retirement, though, didn't they?
The GM left.
Oh,
he
okay.
retired.
Okay.
And that's not the coach.
And they fired
sports
the coach.
Guy. Then Mike was mad that the coach was still there from a losing product.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had this big to-do we talked about on there. And then we got off there, and then they announced they fired the man.
Well, that's, it's all about timing.
Yes.
It is. And if you're a celebrity, you want to die, wait till we go on vacation, because it always happens. That's when celebrities die. Let's close with this. Today is National Take the Stairs Day.
I love it.
So this is actually sponsored by the American Lung Association.
Mm-hmm.
Saying instead of taking an elevator, and they also said, or an escalator. I don't know a lot of people that deal with escalators on a daily basis, but they say take the stairs. So let's salute National Take the Stairs Day.
Oh, don't, God, don't, get, oh, God, boot, what the, oh, ooh, ah!
Still, one of the greatest pains ever known to man is missing a stair and then shitting yourself on the stair.
Oh, the worst. The absolute
happens
worst.
Happens all the time.
And also, one time I got on the escalator the wrong way. I spent 8 weeks just trying to get up. I couldn't do it. Anyway, that's all I got.
Now thank leaving you. Soundtown. Please come again.
I got the buttons right that time. Thank you so much. Thank you to Jessica Kearson for visiting with us today. You can get tickets for her show in Washington, D.C. tomorrow at jessicakearson.com. Please support her. She is a lovely person and yes. a great lady. That's it, folks. Thanks for joining us for another perfect episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike will be back tomorrow, so please come back then. Don't forget, you can always reach us. You can message me, Rob with two B's, at mikeomarashow.com. Send us things. We love it. And don't forget to spend some time at mikeomarashow.com. Thank you for listening, and join us again tomorrow for the best part of your day, The Mike O'Mara Show. For Mike O'Mara and Oscar Santana, this is Rob Spiewak saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at mikeomarashow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.